KR Politics. Jeff Hayes on the line with us. Jeff is a filmmaker who has put out a film entitled The Real Anthony Fauci, based on Robert F. Kennedy's book. You'll be able to watch that film on October 18th on the web at 12:01 p.m. And the link is www.therealanthonyfaucimovie.com. Jimmy, take over, bud, will you?
Yeah, so just let's briefly talk about some of the other films that you've done, Jeff, and just to give people a sense that you've been doing this for a while. Fahrenheit 9/11 in 2004, On Native Soil in 2006, and then Doctored, Bought, a number of things. So how did you get, very briefly, how'd you get into the film business, and then what was your biggest success so far?
Yeah, so I was a television producer, and when Michael Moore's movie Fahrenheit 9/11 came out, I felt like there was a need for a response to that very flawed movie. And so I quickly put together the film Fahrenheit 9/11. And the day I finished it, Patrick Byrne at Overstock bought the film from me for $2.6 million. And wow. So it was a spectacular success. He sold hundreds of thousands of DVDs. We got great reviews, even in the New York Times and in Variety. And it was my first documentary. So I followed that the next year with On Native Soil, with had Kevin Costner and Hilary Swank narrating, and we were shortlisted for an Academy Award on that film. And it turned out, you know, documentary world was like dropping a fish in the water. I've stayed ever since.
That's fantastic. So with this new film, The Real Anthony Fauci, we talked a little bit in the last segment about, you know, AZT and what Fauci did there. Let's talk about some of the other things, some of the impacts of his control. And maybe you'll have to tell us, does the film approach maybe some of the questions with, you know, where the virus came from and some of the funding that went along with that, that could potentially have been funded by the U.S. in a Chinese Communist Party lab?
We do actually cover that, and not in great detail, because I think Bobby has announced it, but he's been working on a book this year on the origin of the virus, and that book will be coming out after this film, and I hope to make a film about that book as well, and it is jaw-dropping. And so we had to cover it because of just curiosity in this film. To me, the biggest surprise of the film, the biggest surprise of the book, and if you remember at the end of the book, he starts covering these tabletop games, these war games that were played. There was one called Event 201.
Yes.
That was 6 weeks before they... you know, COVID-19 was announced to the world that it existed. And in this tabletop game, they mock up news. They have, you know, they go through how they're going to suppress people that are anti-vaccine. They go through all of the details on how to, you know, lockdowns, how to control the public, wear masks. The whole game was done 6 weeks before, and it's all on video. It's in the film. You can search and find it. It was out there for people to see. At the table, you have people from the press, represented from the New York Times. You have people from public health policy. You have representatives from Gates-funded WHO. But you also have the CIA there. What is the CIA doing involved in United States health policy? They're an intelligence agency. And there's been many of these games. We cover a bunch of them, and it's all the same story, and it's always all the same players.
Yeah.
This thing really was laid out in advance.
Well, I think you've answered your own question when you say, what is the CIA doing in that? My guess is that the CIA and associated departments are probably very concerned, because they, for whatever reason, believe that the way the COVID was handled by the federal government was spot on. I personally had quite a bit of experience with COVID, and I have no problem whatsoever with the way that I handled it, and I handled it just the way my doctors told me to. I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to any edicts. I did get COVID, but because I had the right medications, I believe, and I had the right medications because my wife was dying at the time, and her physicians insisted that she take the medications, and so I took them in deference to Kathy. And I came out just fine is all I can say. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to throw that in.
You know, Jeff, when you're talking about the problems, and of course, going back to the creation of it, let's go even farther back. And one of the things that absolutely was astounding to me was in the 2019, in a conference with Francis Collins, the director of National Institute of Health, and Tony Fauci speaking. And I've seen the video and them personally saying this. They were looking for an opportunity to do a massive event to test mRNA technologies because they believe that would be the future of treating viruses. And it is almost to me like here was an opportunity that could possibly have been created by their own either mistakes or incompetence as they avoided the congressional restrictions and actually the Obama administration restrictions on doing gain-of-function research in U.S. labs, where they paid another group to actually do the same funding kind of as a cutout, Peter Daszak and the University of North Carolina and the EcoHealth Alliance. And how much did you delve into the film, delve into that at all?
Absolutely. And we've got great footage on it. You know, what it has happened too soon for us to put in the film is the fact that Peter Daszak just got more funding from the NIH.
Unbelievable.
And it's like, last week, it's like, wow. Or this is like giving the guy with the smoking gun a handful of bullets.
Yeah.
They're not cowed. They're not. I look at the way this film is already being suppressed. Again, I want people, they can go to our site, therealanthonyfaucimovie.com. You can see the trailer there. I think, just as you watch the trailer, you'll see why they don't want it out there. But they really do want me living in a vacuum. They don't want people to see this film. I've always said I can get 100 people to watch a film for every one person that will read a book. But that's only true if I can get people to hear about it and its existence.
Yeah.
And so we're doing all we can. We're making it free.
Right.
I hope that we can get the word out so people can educate themselves and at least know the other side of the story.
Well, I want to tell you one thing, sir, and that is that one of the reasons I'm stressing listen to both sides of every story is we've been talking about the way the government has handled COVID for a lot of years now. And when you stress, listen to both sides of every story and make up your own mind, your chances of getting back blackballed, as we could very well be because of this interview, go down significantly.
You know, here's the problem, though. And this is, I think you're alluding to it. I know we've only got, about a minute and a half left here, but the government, there's a number of documentaries that are starting to pop out. There's one called Safe and Effective basically, it's an Epoch Times piece that was done by a British journalist and basically talks, the end of this show, talks about people that were injured, vaccine injuries. And the end of the show really hammers on the publicity and the government intervention to psychologically influence people. And the question becomes, how much involvement was the government in propagandizing in the support of pharmaceutical industries? And I guess that gets right back to Anthony Fauci. We've only got about 30, 40 seconds left.
30 seconds, period.
Yeah, so your very quick thought on this, Jeff. How much influence did the pharmaceuticals have on this problem?
Well, think of it, billions of dollars. If you just watch, your news stations, you'll see who's sponsoring the ads, and you realize that they bought what you're hearing. I hope people go to our site, therealanthonyfauci.com, and I hope they educate themselves as you guys advise your listeners.
We're trying very hard to do that. Let me stress, therealanthonyfauci.com. Check it out. Jim and I feel very privileged in having done this editorial.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.